Brothers and sisters, we're turning tonight to the book of Joshua, in the Old Testament, Joshua. And we'll begin our reading at verse number 1. And we're only going to read down to verse number 9. So that's the book of Joshua, chapter 1. And we begin our reading at verse number 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of God's precious, holy, infallible word to us. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, as we turn here to the book of Joshua, chapter 1, this book begins with an announcement of Moses' death. Moses was very important and instrumental in leading Israel to this point in their journey to possess the promised land. For 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. That time had finally come to an end. It was time for them to enter into their possession, that which God had promised to them. Moses was not to lead them. It was Joshua, the son of Nun, that now would take over and lead the people to possess this land. Now, Moses' death also separates the book of Joshua from the Pentateuch, for obviously Moses' leadership had now come to an end. Everything Joshua would accomplish would be in fulfillment of what the Lord had promised to His people. Remember, God has a purpose to direct His people, and He will give to them that which He promises to them. His word is sure, reliable, trustworthy. That's why when we come to the Scriptures, to the Word of God, it is the foundation upon which our faith rests. We take God always at His word. May the Lord grant us that faith that we might come to Him in obedience and trust every day, because we need Him. We need His Spirit to be with us and to grant us that aid constantly. And so the Lord has given His people a land of promise, the land of Canaan. But they weren't just to walk into it. They were to fight for it, because the Canaanites lived there in that place. And so they had to remove the Canaanites. And God was going to clear the way. But nevertheless, They were filled with fear. They were filled and had dismay. And so the Lord says, I want you to be courageous. I want you to be go forward. Because ultimately, I am with you. I'm always with you. I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. And so because the Lord is with them, He is the one who will grant them the success they need. And as we think about our own Christian life and experience, if we want to go forward in success, victory, it's because the Lord is always with us. There's some of you even here, and this has been a challenging time for you. Perhaps you've been struggling. Perhaps you've been adrift, as we talked about this morning. Well, as we set our hearts right before God, remember, the Lord is always with you to enable you to walk with Him, to know courage and strength in your Christian life and experience. We have Christ who dwells in us. We have His word and truth given to us. We have the help of the Holy Spirit promised to us. And so we are not to be those drifting and careless in our Christian life, but rather may the Lord grant us a diligence to always come to Him, because His promises are always for us. Promises to His people, remember, means promises to you and to me. We also are His people. We receive from His hand, and He provides for us. So ask the Lord even today to fulfill His word, to fulfill His promises to you, even as we come to the Scriptures tonight. This is a word for us, as well as for Joshua, as well as for Israel. We learn from the truth and how it is that we are also to trust and walk with God. So let us now come to the Scriptures. And first, my first point is very simply, we're to look to His promises. So I want you to do tonight, if God has given a promise in His word, look to it. Look to it. Because He has given it to us for a reason, for a purpose, to encourage us and help us in the faith that He has given to us. What does He say here in verses 1 and 2? He says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm going to give them to the people of Israel. The time of Moses and his service has come to a conclusion, has come to an end. God had a plan and a purpose for Moses to use him in a very powerful way to bring them out of the bondage of the Egyptians, to bring them through that wilderness experience for 40 years. Now, unfortunately for Moses, because he disobeyed the Lord and he struck the rock when he was supposed to speak to it, he would not be the one to lead the people into the promised land because of disobedience. But nevertheless, he was greatly used of God, a servant of the Lord. That's what it says here, a servant of Jehovah, the covenant God. The Lord now says to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses is now gone. Now arise, you are going to be the leader of this people. You are going to guide and direct them, and I'm going to be the one to guide and direct you. Remember, we are servants. And God has told us that we are to give ourselves to serve Him primarily, to look to Him to guide and direct us. Joshua was not just going to bring these people into this land on his own. Now, he was the leader. God was going to use him to direct the people in order that they might receive their inheritance of the land. But nevertheless, it was the Lord ultimately that was going to give them victory. It was the Lord that needed to fight for them. It was the Lord who needed to clear away the barriers that faith often, those barriers of faith that ultimately come. Because if the Lord was not going to be with them, they would be dealing with defeat. They would receive nothing. And their actions and their service would be fruitless. But the Lord says that I am going to give you these things as I have promised. This is what I am going to do for you. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? The first barrier that they were going to face was what? The Jordan River. Now, remember, you have something like 1 million to 2 million people that are coming into the land. And so there wasn't a flotilla of boats waiting for them to ferry them across. But the Lord nevertheless says to them, go over this Jordan. And he wasn't expecting them to swim, try to get across somehow on their own, you know, go across on some wood or something and drift across. He was going to remove this barrier for them. Oftentimes, the Lord doesn't give us explanations on how he's going to accomplish things. He just opens the way and makes them happen as long as we continue to trust him. A God who's able to remove mountains. What barriers have you faced even over this past year to faith? This morning we talked in our Bible class of the blessings of God and the things that the Lord has done for us even over this past year. How encouraging it is, isn't it, when you can look back and see how the Lord has removed those barriers of faith, has been able to direct you forward, to encourage your own heart and help you. That ought to encourage us to continue to look to him by faith. Lord, as you've been with me in the past, so you're going to be with me now, you're going to be with me in the future. But they had to cross the Jordan. And if they were going to possess the land, they had to move forward in trust and reliance. If they remained on the opposite side, they would gain nothing. They would gain nothing. They were too afraid of crossing through that river. And if they were too afraid of the Canaanites, the people in the land, and they just said, no, we're not going to go forward, we're going to remain here. Well, they did that in the past, remember? When the spies entered into the land and gave them that report, and there were two spies that gave them a positive report. Yes, let's go forward. Let's take this. We can do this. God is on our side. It doesn't matter how great the cities are, how walled up they are, how secure these fortresses are, or the people, how big or great. Let's go forward. Caleb and Joshua, faith. Trusting in God. But unfortunately, the 10 spies, the others, no, it's too much, too great, we can't do this. How can we possibly take this land? They were turned away by their own unbelief because they followed those who discouraged them in their faith. Well, I trust tonight that we'd be people who would possess the same spirit as Caleb and Joshua. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. There are no barriers that he cannot break down. There is no and nothing too great that God cannot do, even in my life and even in, as I endeavor to serve God. Because God is greater than the problems, greater than the difficulties, greater than the challenges. There is nothing that he can't deal with. And so they had to come to a place where they look to his promises and the reality that he was going to remove the barriers that prevented them from moving forward in faith. May we also look to the Lord, the one who can remove the barriers of faith, that we don't remain on the wrong side of faith, the wrong side of Jordan, but enter into that which the Lord has promised to his people. Because the Lord had said to them in Deuteronomy chapter 12, for you have not as yet come into rest and to the inheritance that the Lord your God is giving you. But when you go over the Jordan and live in the land that the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, and when he gives you rest from all your enemies around so that you live in safety, then to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name dwell there, there you shall bring all that I command you. This rest that he is speaking of here is a picture of the rest that the Christian will experience. When we give ourselves to God by faith, we receive the inheritance, and ultimately we will be with him in glory. But there's also an aspect here where the conquering of the promised land is a picture of the sanctification, the life that we live as Christians in this world. It'd be really wonderful the moment we become Christians that all tribulation, all pain, all difficulties were removed. But that's not true. We have our battles as well, as Israel had their battles. There are Canaanites to be taken care of, to be removed from the heart. Those things that the devil throws at us to try to take away or remove our faith, fill us with fear and think that, well, can God really give me victory? Well, when the Lord makes a promise of bringing his people into rest, ultimately, we must trust in our God. And we rest in his word and his promises. We look to it. He will be with me now in the battle. He will give me victory in the battle. He will remove the barriers that are before us so I can live in spiritual victory in Jesus Christ. And I will enter into rest. There's nothing to prevent that. The time coming, we will enter into glory because Christ has made for us a new and living way beyond the veil. There's nothing to prevent me from coming in and to be there in glory with him. Nothing separates me from his love. I know God will be with us, his people. Remember Elisha, when he followed Elijah and was watching him as he went up into heaven in the whirlwind. When he returned from that great sight, what did he do when he faced with when he was faced with going across the Jordan? Well, in 2 Kings 2:13, he took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water. And so he took that cloak, he struck the water with it, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? Where is this all-powerful God that can remove barriers, that can do all things? I'm looking to the God of Elijah because the God of Elijah is also my God." And when he had struck the water, remember what happened? It parted. It parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho saw him opposite them, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they come to meet him and bow to the ground before him. The same spirit that filled Elijah, the same spirit that filled Elisha, is the same spirit that fills you and me. Now, I may not be able to go up to our Petticoat River with a coat and hit the river and say, "Part for me, I'm going to walk across." May not give us that ability today. But nevertheless, the same God that removed the barrier to faith in the past removes barriers to faith today. And this people indeed would go over this Jordan because the Lord would part that river the same as he did for Elisha and Elijah back there in 2 Kings. God is a God of promises. God is a God who will fulfill his promises. May the Lord enable us to look to him and look to his promises and say, "Yes, your word has said it. I believe it. I look to it." And then as we look to it, then we claim it. We claim it. Claim the promise as our own. That's what my second point is here. As we look at verses 3 and 4, "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. Now, could you imagine being an Israelite living at that time? You've witnessed God parting the Jordan River for you. You've walked across behind the Ark of the Covenant and the priests. And as you enter into this land, you can hear those words, the Lord saying, every place where your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. Not that I will give to you, but I have already given it to you. It already belongs to you. It's already your possession. So sure as my promise to you, this land is yours. There's nothing that will prevent this from happening. Sure, the people of that time, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amalekites, all those people might be arrayed against you. It doesn't matter. I will remove them because this is the promise that you will receive. This land is yours. Every place where the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. Can you imagine that? Your walk, this is mine, and this is mine, and everywhere you walk, this, wow, this is mine. This is what the Lord has given to me. In the past, God had reaffirmed his promise to them. Time of Abraham, he promised that the land would be given to his people. To his last words to Moses in Deuteronomy, as God would take them over the Jordan into this enemy, seeming enemy territory. He then would enable them to claim for themselves the land that he had promised to them. There would be no repetition of the fear and unbelief that had brought the nation to defeat at Kadesh Barnea when those 10 spies gave the evil report. There's no repetition of that. God had already given them the land. He laid it out before them, and he simply said, now go and possess it. Go and possess it. The lesson for us, for God's people, is very clear. As Paul told us in Ephesians, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us in Christ with what? Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. A people who belongs to God, a covenant God who makes promise to his people that we will have a possession, that you're an heir and joint heir with Jesus Christ. And so tonight, you will receive an inheritance. An inheritance that ultimately comes from your Savior, but an inheritance that you will receive. It is yours. It is coming. We can't even begin to imagine that which God has prepared for us in glory. Nevertheless, it is so great. It is so vast. It is so much. We will not help but bow down and glorify the God who has given it to us. But even during this time, as we look forward to the inheritance, the rest that we receive, God has given us a down payment. And what is that down payment? Paul also told us that in Ephesians. The down payment is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, that Spirit testifying that we belong to Christ, that we are His, giving the assurance that we need, giving us the faith that we need, the confidence, the assurance that we need as we battle daily the Canaanites of our time, the world, the flesh, and the devil, the challenges of life. Nevertheless, we have and have received the Spirit of the living God as a down payment of that full inheritance that we will possess when the time comes. We will be with God in glory. We're to be assured of this. God has wonderful and great things planned for us. In love, remember, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved. May we not fall back, turn away, drift away, be careless in how we live this Christian life, but rather to be diligent, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. In fact, that is something that I'm going to speak on this next Sunday. How important Christ is in the race of faith that we have, and that we're always looking to Him, and how important He is for us. But we're not to fall back. Rather, we're to look forward to that which God has prepared for us in glory. And even during this time, God will provide for us exactly what we need when we need it, when we come to Him by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving and make those requests known to Him. Because we serve a God who hears and answers prayer. That's what I've been trying to encourage you with over this last number of weeks. So you're not wasting your time when you pray to your God and you seek Him. As He has provided for you in the past, He will continue to provide for you in the future. Parents often need to have all kinds of things with them when they go traveling with young children, don't they? You have to have the big bag. In the bag, there's all kinds of things in there, so that in case something happens, you can pull out the item from the bag and do something or provide something for your children. Have diapers in there and wipes and candy and food. And I know some parents, they'll have like a peanut butter sandwich. And so if someone's hungry, you can give them what they need. That way a child, when they go to their parent, they know that, well, they'll provide for me. They'll give me what I need right now. And so I can go to them. May we also have that attitude of a child going to our Heavenly Father who knows how to give good gifts even unto His children. Remember at salvation, we placed our faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone. But that faith was a gift that the Lord has given to us, a resource. Faith, that what we needed when we need it. And that He continues to give us wisdom and light by His Word, continuing to guide and direct us in the way that we need to go. Forgiveness and grace, perspective on life, to be able to take a step back and see the big picture that ultimately God is at work in this world, that we're not just living in darkness and chaos, but light will shine through that darkness and chaos, and God continues to use His church as His servants in this world, continues to use you and me as His servants. By His Spirit, comforts us, is a helper for us, and shows that we belong to Him. Claim the promises that God gives to you in His Word. How many times have you underlined a Bible verse and said, yeah, this is a word for me. This is something that I need right now. In fact, I know I've shared this before, a fellow that we used to teach with in Toronto. He also started the day in prayer, and he wanted to have a word for the day and how important it is for him to have a word for the day from the Scriptures. He could say a promise for the day, a help for the day from the living God. Sure, it would be encouraging for you if you did the same. Lord, give me a word for today, a promise for today. Help me to claim that promise to know that You continue to be with us. Israel had to claim the promise. It wasn't so much that they had to walk through the land, but they had to claim it and say and declare, yes, this does belong to me, and I will take it, I will claim it, and I will possess it, because it's the Lord who gives us our possessions. And then, of course, we stand on the promises of God, third and last, and quickly. I know my time is going quickly. We stand on His promises, don't we? Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you because I'm with you. None will be able to resist you. None will have victory over you. So no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you, Joshua. I will not leave you nor forsake you. It's time for you to be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. You're going to be battling. There is going to be a fight. But nevertheless, you will prevail. Keep going forward. Victory is on your side, because the one who gives you victory is on your side. He has a plan and a purpose to give you the inheritance that you shall receive. You shall receive it. I was with Moses. I provided for you in the wilderness. There are times when that manna had to be there day after day after day. And who provided it? He did. He provided them a table in the wilderness. He furnished a table for them in the wilderness. Some 2 million people, and they ate every day. When they needed water, water was provided. Their shoes did not wear out. Their clothes did not wear out. He was with them, guiding and directing them. How much more is He guiding and directing us, His people, even today, to continue to provide for us? He provides or furnishes a table in our wilderness as well, doesn't He? And as we come to the Word of God, do we not have a banquet set before us? I can feast on Christ. I can feast on His Word. I can gain all that I need and more so, because He lavishes His grace and His Word, His truth upon us. Here it is. Take and eat and be filled. But how many of us go hungry spiritually because we're not coming to this table? We're not feasting from this bread. We're not receiving this, that which God has provided for us. Feast on Him and know life. Life within yourself and your soul. As I was with Moses, as I provided for him, I'm going to provide for you. I may have provided for him differently, but still they had enemies they had to fight. They had battles that needed to be won. They won those battles, and the Lord brought them to this place where they're standing, and Jordan is before them. The land is before them. I was with Moses. I'm going to be with you. In fact, I want to encourage you so much. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people. I'm going to use you for this people, that you might receive the inheritance that is before you. But in order to receive these promises, to stand on these promises, ultimately it did mean a holiness of life, a dedication to God. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land I swore to their fathers. Only be strong and courageous. So he repeats that. Being careful to do what? To do according to all that the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Remember, God does not share His worship with others. They were not to bow down to Baal or to any other god, but to have Him and Him alone, to serve Him and Him alone, to do according to His law, His word, His truth, His revelation. As I've said to you in the past, the Word of God is given for our obedience, that we might follow it. Not for us to question it. Not to think that we can believe in some of it and leave the other part of it. But we take it from cover to cover. Genesis, Revelation. This is the entirety of the Word of God to us. I believe this is the Word of God. And I accept it as the Word of God. And I will follow it as the Word of God. And as I follow it as the Word of God, then He will guide and direct and provide for me in the best possible way. So He says, if you're going to have success, if you're going to have victory, if you're going to be able to go forward, be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. We are to be obedient followers of Jesus Christ, not to turn away from it, but to follow it fully and completely. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. I want you to understand the word, meditate on the word, know it, so that you'll understand my will for your life and that you will know direction from me. And so we must have a habit of obedience by the Spirit of God. As Peter told us in 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. We're not conforming ourselves to this world or the thinking of this world. But he who has called you is holy. You also are to be what? Holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. We, in the times past, were children of disobedience. But as believers, the Lord desires that we be an obedient children, followers of Him, a holy people set apart. True salvation always results in obedience to the revealed will of God given to us in the Scriptures. Our lifestyle should then reflect who we are in Christ. We don't decide how we live. It's the Lord who directs us how we are to live, how we are to interact with others, and the lifestyle that we are to adapt or to have. For you as a Christian, growing in your knowledge of Christ is ultimately so important, rather than be given over to our own selfish desires that set our hearts away from God. Just as I said this morning, if our anchor is not fixed in Christ, then we're adrift, lost, or even possibly in danger of the rocks of this world, as the one who is a boat who's adrift that can be smashed upon the rocks and be lost. And so we need to be fixed in Christ, centered in Him, recognizing His lordship in all things. Remember, you have a destiny. You have a direction. These people were given a direction, a destiny. They were to go in a certain way. But we also are the same. Remember, when we can travel again, and someday it will be nice when we can travel again, you prepare and you pack for that place of destination, don't you? I mean, usually about this time, many of us are heading south. So you've got your swimwear, your lotion, your sunglasses, your sandals, and you're heading for some beach. Unfortunately, we can't do that quite yet. But you prepare yourself for that destination because your desire is to go there and to enjoy that place, a time of refreshment, of warmth, of getting away from the cold. And the cold has certainly returned again. Well, how much more refreshing it is when we're preparing ourselves for glory. We're knowing fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. We're experiencing His presence, spending time with Him, preparing ourselves to be with Him in glory. May we also then be strong and courageous, looking to our God, standing on His promises, claiming them as our own, and knowing that our God is on our side. Even at the end of the book of Joshua, when Joshua was coming to his own death, do you know what he said, his testimony? In Joshua 21:45, he said, not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel hath failed. All came to pass. And all still will come to pass. Not one of His good promises shall fail. In fact, He has exalted His word above His very name. He's not a deceiver. He's not out to lie and to cheat and to steal from us. But rather, He will fulfill all His good word, even as He has provided for Israel in the past. He will provide for us, His people today, to continue to look to Him and His good promises that He has for you. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, truly, You are good to Your people. You encourage Your people, even as You encouraged Joshua so many years ago. they were to go forward, and it would be difficult and it would be hard. But nevertheless, it was your purpose to give to this people a land of rest, a land flowing with milk and honey, a good land, because it is a land that God will provide. And Father, as we come to you, we rest in you, we rest in Christ, and there remains a rest when we will be with you in glory. But while we live here in the flesh, continue to be with us, grant us the fullness of your Spirit. Lord, the Spirit, the down payment that you have given to show that ultimately we belong to you, that we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ, and that we shall receive an inheritance when the time comes. Grant us hope, O God. Help us never to give up in you. Help us to never lose heart, lose faith, and drift, but rather that we would be diligent in our Christian life and experience, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And so go before us in this week. Continue to bless us in the Savior. Help us, Lord, to lay hold upon your word and your promises. And Father, that we might be established upon them. And Lord, that you would continue to provide for us in marvelous ways, that as Joshua was able to testify, that not one good promise that the Lord has made has failed. All has come to pass. Lord, we also look to you, and we know that not one good promise that you, the Lord, has given to us will ever fail, but all shall come to pass. Lord, keep us in the faith. Grant us the assurance we need, and help us to ever look to you, because you are our God, and we are your people. We give you praise, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.